Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today, well, today I'm talking with my awesome co-host, Tom Campbell, who we have all, well, we've all been listening to. He did a lovely talk that's almost 3 hours long that's all about the coronavirus. And actually, it's kind of about maybe some of the benefits that the coronavirus is now offering. We kind of have an interesting situation. Obviously, there are a lot of people in fear. We've got a lot of people that don't believe it's real. And we have a lot of people that are in terror. And it's very stifling. And so I wanted to take this opportunity since I got to speak with Tom. And I love being able to speak with Tom every month. But I want to take this opportunity to just, because we always deal with the practical and what we can do, we really need some help. Because, yes, there's a lot of us that are, you know, trying to stay as balanced as possible, but the numbers are crazy and it doesn't seem to be, we don't seem to be flattening the curve here anyway in North America. I mean, yes, Canada's a bit lucky because we're a huge country and we have probably a little bit more space than anybody else. But at the same time, we're still growing. And I mean, it's hard when you look at the numbers. You want to be informed because it's important to know. But because our go-to is always around fear, especially since first it hit the financial markets and that threw everybody in a spin. And then it's starting to affect everybody, and so of course survival is a huge thing because it's affecting everybody's income, especially as a small business, or everybody's income. So there's so much going on, and of course, again, when you take financial into consideration, because finances and survival probably push the worst, but I don't think that's the worst. I think the fact that the numbers are so high and they're climbing every day, and poor New York is going to be, you know, surpass China at this point, probably tomorrow. It's scary. So how do we not get tugged into that fear? And what can we do about it?
Okay. Well, that's a really good question. How do we not get, you know, swept up in all the fear? Well, this COVID-19 is kind of the latest thing to go around that tugs people to fear, but people have been very fearful, you know, long before COVID got here. And, you know, I've very often run into people who almost are dysfunctional. This is before COVID-19, almost dysfunctional, because they look out at the world, they see such an ugly place, and they just don't want to live here. You know, there's so much ugliness in the world, so many people being nasty to people, so little caring, that they just want to kind of crawl in a hole and, you know, pull in a, you know, a lid on top. They want off, you know, they want out. And that's just basically fear. You know, they get overwhelmed with their fear of things being wrong, things not being the way they should be. So we've been right up to our eyeballs in fear all along. And that's kind of where we were when COVID-19, you know, became a thing, what, a month ago or so, and maybe 2 months ago in China. So it's not surprising that the stress level has, you know, has gone up remarkably. If you have a fearful population and then you give them something obviously that's frightening, then you expect the fear levels to run up a lot. So it's not surprising, but it's gotten so bad. There's so much stress that a lot, you know, it was probably the, you know, the 5% that were becoming dysfunctional because of fear. Now it's you know, a whole lot higher than that. You know, it's maybe even getting to the majority of people who are getting stressed to the point that they're not coping very well with life. Well, what helps is to have a bigger picture. If you can see this from the perspective of consciousness, from the perspective of a bigger picture, this and all the other scary things that are taking place in the world. I mean, there's still hunger, there's still pollution, there's still, you know, war. I mean, all the things that were horrible, you know, 3 or 4 months ago before COVID-19, they're all still there. They're all still just as horrible as they were, you know, maybe mostly worse. But we have to learn to accept reality as it is. In other words, a lot of the anxiety comes from this idea that I don't like it the way it is. It needs to change. I can't live in it the way it is. It has to change. And this idea that it has to change is the problem. That's where the stress comes from. You know, there's that old saying about, you know, you need to have the wisdom to know, you know, what you can change and accept what you can't. You know, well, it's the accepting what you can't part is the part that's creating so much stress now. And if you look at life, if you look at your experience here from a big picture, you realize that one, you know, you are consciousness, you're not a body. You are immortal, you're not mortal. This is one chapter in a long series of chapters of you, you know, the individuated unit of consciousness, having lifetimes and having lifetime experiences. So take the big picture perspective and don't be too frightened about what's going on in the little picture. We will get through this. We will get by it. You know, it will come, it will go, and we'll still, most of us will still be here. And some of us won't. And if we're one of those ones that don't make it through this, well, that's okay too. This is just one chapter in a very long set of chapters. And there's another chapter after this one waiting to get rolling. So this isn't, you know, death here just isn't as big a deal as we tend to make it. Things go on. You know, if you think, oh, well, if I died, I'm the provider for my family, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I have young children, and you have all these reasons why that would be a bad idea. Well, that happens, and life goes on, and children get by, and, you know, people find jobs, things happen. Life goes on. So you are not indispensable. You are not, you know, in a unique position that if you're not there, you know, all the rest of the world will fall apart, or even your little part of it. Oh, it'll fall apart for a short time, but it will just pick itself up and go on. So have the big picture, your consciousness. If this, you know, if something happens to you, if you're in an automobile accident or some other kind of thing happens and you're gone, others will adjust. Everybody will have lessons to learn. It may be difficult, but everybody will adjust. So that's one way to look at it, is from the point of we're consciousness. We're not our bodies. Death is not such a big thing, such a big scary thing. It's just part of the cycle of, you know, of our existence. We come here, we try to grow up, we try to learn, we try to get rid of our fear, and then our body grows old, or it catches a disease, or it gets run over by a truck, or something else happens, and we're gone. And then we incarnate into another, you know, experience, and we try to grow up and we try to learn, but we, you know, we catch a disease or we get run over by a truck, and then we go on. And this is the way it is. So just kind of relax and let it be however it is. You can't control it. If you can't control it, then there's no point worrying about it or being upset about it or being anxious about it. Just let it happen however it happens. accept that. You see? And you just have to accept that for everybody. Well, you know, what if my mother or father get sick? Well, what if my children get sick? Well, you do the best you can. You see, I'm not saying nobody should have a care. Everybody should just go around like, you know, nothing's happening here. You should be as intelligent about this as possible. You should take as many precautions as you can, if possible. You know, some things are more possible for others. For me, it's easy. I'm retired, you see. So that gives me an advantage in a situation where the word is to stay home. Well, that's what I do anyway. You know, I pretty much stay home. I don't go out a whole lot, you know. Since my wife, Pamela, also retired, I don't even go out to the grocery store much anymore. I used to do that shopping, but now I can go weeks at a time without ever leaving the house. So this sort of a stay home is not a big problem for me, but it is for a lot of people. A lot of people, if they don't work, they can't eat. You know, going to work is an important thing. And a lot of jobs have been lost because things have closed and they've wound down. And we don't need so many servers in restaurants anymore because a lot of restaurants are closed. And, you know, well, we probably need lots of drivers driving around delivering things because suddenly the delivery business is huge. Has picked up, you know, 100 times what it was a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, maybe if you were a waiter, now you can be a delivery person. So there are things that are opening up. You know, I understand that Amazon, you know, which is a big, non-brick and mortar, you know, retail store, that they have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of positions open because suddenly their business, you know, went way up and all the delivery businesses went way up. So there's things opening up too for people who are on the end that's closing down. You know, it may take a few weeks to get reoriented, but hopefully you can find something. But anyway, we do the best we can to get by. And if we help each other, then everything will work out pretty well. So if you maybe have a young family and no jobs or whatever, well, if we help each other, you'll probably have a friend or a brother or a sister or someplace that you can go for a while if you have to. You know, or if you have people like that, invite them to come with you. You know, okay, that raises your risk a little bit, but that's okay. Those are things we have to do. We have to reach out and help people. We can't just seal ourselves in a bubble and, you know, it's not just about us. We can't say it's just, you know, it's just about me. I got to do what I need to keep me healthy. You have to do that, yes, but you also have to be helpful to other people. So you see other people are in need, then you help them. You take some risk, but no more than you need to. That's the thing. So being fearless doesn't mean being stupid. You know, those are two entirely different things. Being fearless means that you don't have fear, which means that you can use your mind, your conscience, to think about what is the optimum thing. You know, you have friends and family to support. You have maybe neighbors to help. Maybe you've got a neighbor and maybe they're in their 80s. Well, they may need some help now because they really should stay home more than people who are, say, in their 20s. In that case, maybe it'd be nice to go over and ask them if you could go get something for them. You know, so be helpful, be caring, but don't be fearful. Be smart. Try to not put yourself in a position where you have a higher risk, but realize you do have to take some risks. This hiding away to where you absolutely minimize your risk because you're afraid that you might get this disease is not really the way we work in life. We have to interact with other people some. We have responsibilities, you know, to family first, but to friends and neighbors second, and just people we know. We have responsibilities to help them out too, even if that puts us at some risk. That's part of living. You take risks. Every time we get in a car, we take risks. You know, every time we walk down the street, we take risks. Life is risky, but we should be smart about it. You know, we don't drive with our eyes shut. You know, we don't walk down the street maybe at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, through the inner city. You know, these may be things that are just risky and a smart person avoids them. So be smart, accept whatever happens will happen, and live your life. Find joy, find peace. So the big thing is acceptance. People who can't accept, they want it to change. I don't like it this way. It's upsetting that it's this way. You know, and I run into people that feel that way, not only about COVID-19, but, you know, about politics. I know people that are almost dysfunctional because they're so wound up over, you know, politics that they can't think straight. They're almost dysfunctional with their fear and with their unhappiness and with their stress just because the political situation bothers them. You know, you have to know what it is, the things that you can control, and be smart about controlling those, and the things that you can't, and then do what you need to do. Take care of yourself, but also be helpful to others. And if being helpful to others comes with a little risk, well, then be helpful to others. You'll have to decide on what that risk is worth. And can you do that? And how can you be helpful? So particularly if you're a younger person, then your risk is much less. So you should be much more willing to be helpful to those people that are at higher risk. But even if you are high risk, like I'm 75, so I'm in the high risk group. But, you know, if I had family or other people that lost their jobs and needed a place to stay, I would invite them here. There's a little risk, but you take risks for things that are worth it. And if things don't work out, if you end up getting this virus and you're in that, in my age group, you're in that, 13% or something that doesn't survive, well, then that's the way it is. Everybody else will just have to figure out, you know, how to get along without you. And you'll go on and do something else. You know, that's the way it is. So don't panic over the possibilities. You know, they're just possibilities. Live in the now. Be responsible. Take reasonable risks. Life is risky. You know, what can I say about that? You know, I mean, we take risks all the time, mostly driving. Most people's biggest risk is getting in an automobile and driving. And every time you pull, you know, out of your driveway, you've got probably a 10,000, 20,000, something like that, that you won't come back. But we don't think twice about it. We go hop in the car and off we go. Even for things that we don't have to go, you know, trivial things, just drive around to see what's going on, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, on the other side of town. You know, we drive around for very small reasons and we don't think much about the risk at all. We're willing to take that risk. But now we're terrified to go out and meet the mailman or something because we, you know, maybe if he hands us mail, it'll have little COVID-19 viruses running around on it, you know. So we have to realize that life is risky. Take the risks you need to take in order to live your life in a reasonable way and just go on with it. And then accept what happens. Deal with what happens. Deal with it intelligently. Be smart. Stay informed. And then you've done all you can do. After that, let everything else take care of itself. You see, so you have to have that big picture sense of life is just perfect the way it is. Okay. And that comes from the big picture sense of, you know, we have lessons. And often those lessons come to us through pain and hardship. Because if we didn't have the pain, we wouldn't pay any attention to the lesson. But we do things badly. Now, I'm talking about we humanity and we individuals, but we do things badly. We do things out of fear and out of ego and out of our beliefs, and we're self-centered, and that creates problems. And then those problems turn around and bite us, and those problems create more issues for us. And it's that pain of the problems we create that is our stimulus to do better, to stop creating those problems. okay, well, this COVID-19 is a man-made problem. You know, we made that, right? We humanity, we created that virus. If it wasn't for us, that virus wouldn't be here. We make the problem. Now we get to deal with it. And how we deal with it is what's important. Not whether you get sick or not, or even whether you die or not. It's how you deal with whatever it is that happens to you. Okay. So all along, you need to be compassionate and caring about people. Be willing to take some risk for others if it's worthwhile. Now, if you have a, you know, if you have a home full of you know, 80-year-olds at your house, then you don't want to take so much risk. Then you need to be extra careful. But if you got a home, or, you know, a house full of 8-year-olds instead of 80-year-olds, then not so big a deal, because the little children this time aren't very susceptible to this. Very, very few of those have a bad outcome. You see, so if it's your children you're worried about, well, don't worry so much about your children. They're less likely to, you know, be hurt by this than anybody else. So in that case, you could invite somebody in. And if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, well, take care of other people if you can. Be helpful. A little risk is probably a good thing to take. If you are in your, you know, late 70s or 80s or 90s, well, take less risk. You know, be willing to ask for help. Be willing to call up a neighbor and ask them if they could get something for you. You know, that sort of thing. But just accept life the way it comes. What's important isn't what comes, it's how you deal with it. You'll grow up, or, you know, you'll evolve or de-evolve the quality of your consciousness by how you deal with it, not by what happens. Death is not a really big deal. It's just a bump in the road on the way to growing up. And it's a necessary bump. If we didn't, you know, if these bodies didn't wear out, we'd get stuck. Can you imagine? You know, if we were, you know, 200 years old or 300 years old, we'd be so painted ourselves in a corner with all of our beliefs and fears and so on. You know, growing up would be very difficult to do. So we need to recycle. Start fresh. Get rid of you know, all the problems and beliefs and things that we have, and start over. Give it another chance to develop differently. We need that. That's a positive thing. Death is a good thing. Now, you don't want it to come too soon, because you still have lessons to learn. And as long as you still have lessons to learn, then it's efficient to learn them now while you're here, rather than put them off till the next time. You know, you learn them as you can. But if you happen to be one of those that gets run over by a truck, or, you know, you're old and you catch a disease that kills you, well, then it's time to recycle. So I guess I'm trying to say, don't panic. Let things be how they are. This world is, as I say, it's exactly as it needs to be to help us grow up. Okay, we have this virus, and that's biting us now. But it's kind of pushing us to grow up. Hey, let's take responsibility for creating things like COVID-19. Let's not do that. Let's not have so many animals in terribly unsanitary, you know, conditions, all living together with a bunch of people and so on, that creates this problem. Let's change those conditions. And if we feel like we're citizens of the world and it's not just about us, then we should have even more incentive to do that, because we wouldn't want to start a virus that went around the world and killed millions of people. You know, that wouldn't be such a good thing for a good citizen to do, you know, but we don't have that global perspective. You know, we have a little picture. We don't think in terms of big pictures. We don't take responsibility for that. So it's teaching us something. We may just grow up because of this experience. We may learn to be more helpful and caring to people. We may learn to take a bigger picture of things. So, you know, what is that? That book was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. You know, well, in this little picture that we're in, everything's small stuff. Even life and death is small stuff. in this picture, this little picture where we live. So that would be my advice to people who are so wound up with the fear, is let it go. Accept life as it happens. Don't be so terrified of something happening to you because you can't control it. And I think a large part of our fear comes from being not in control. That's a scary thing. There's a few basic things that frighten people. One of them is the unknown. They're afraid of the unknown because they don't know what's going to happen. And the second thing, and a related thing, is that they're afraid if they're not in control. If they're not in control, then it's scary. That's why people have a fear of flying, because they're sitting in an airplane, and whether they live or die depends on somebody else other than them, on those pilots, on that ground crew, on the people that, you know, overhauled the engine last time, you know, and all of those things. Their life is in other people's hands, and that just so upsets them that they have difficulty getting into an airplane. Well, we get into cars all the time, and the statistics for, you know, the probability of dying in an airplane is smaller than dying in a car, but we get into cars just because we're used to that. The people who are afraid of getting in airplanes are the people who don't fly much. You know, they haven't gotten used to that concept of not being in control. There's lots of things in your life that you're not in control of, and you need to just let them be. You're not in control of other people and what other people do. You're not in control of whether somebody who, you know, starts having a sore throat, a little shortness of breath and a fever, and they decide, oh, I just got a cold, you know, and they go out and walk around and meet people and do things. You're not in control of that. Some people will do that. Most now, if they're paying attention, won't, but some will. And don't let that make you angry. It's just the way they are. Don't get angry at them and upset. Just say it. Life is like that. And maybe one of those people will give you the disease, or maybe they won't. Don't worry about that. Just be smart, stay informed, be helpful, be caring, be responsible. And then after that, let it go. And whatever happens will happen. You know, even at the very worst, even if you're over 90, if you're the over 90 category, you've got about a 20% mortality rate. Well, that means even if you're over 90, 80% of you, 80% of the over 90s get over it. You see? So even if you're in the real high risk, it's still only 20%. That are going to die from it. The 80% are going to get by. So, and if you're my age, 75, it's something more like 10%. It's about half that. Okay. And if you're under 60, then it's, you know, a few percent. And if you're younger, it's like, you know, 0.5%. So it just depends. But so even if you're in the highest of the high risk, you still have, you know, an 80% chance, if you do get it, that you're coming out the other side just fine. So it's not this desperate thing. If I get ill, certainly I'm going to die. It's not. And unless you're at very, very old, you know, it's probably 1 in 100. It's more like 1 or 2% or 3%. It's in that neighborhood. And depending on your age group, if you're in your teens and 20s or even less than teens, you know, it's probably 1 in a few hundredths of a percent. It's very small. So most people that get it will get over it. A very small percentage won't. And it just isn't any point in worrying about whether you're going to be in that percentage or not. You either will or you won't. Again, be smart, be informed, live your life, be helpful. You don't have to hide in a hole, but you do have to be smart about what you do. Don't take unnecessary risks. Don't do all that, you know, hug everybody you see, you know, keep your distance of what they say, 6 feet or more from people. If you can, if you're taking a walk on the sidewalk, yeah, well, walk out in the yard a little bit to get around somebody. So you don't have to get more than 6 feet away, you know, close to them. You can always stay 6 feet or more away. So be smart about what you do. If you go into a store, and there's something you want to buy, but there's a bunch of people standing there, well, just wait until they move on. So as long as you take precautions like that and you just work, you know, intelligently, knowing the facts, then your probability of being hurt by this is going to be very small. Now, you may be hurt by it because you lost a job. You may be hurt by it because it's poor, you know, it's hard on the economy. Well, you just have to get through that. You know, stuff happens and we get to deal with it. Again, it's not so much that you're going to have a hardship maybe for the next 6 months, maybe for the next 3 years before you get back to where you were. But we get through those kinds of things. You'll deal with it. You'll come out the other end. But if you're fearful, the probability of you being hurt is higher. If you have a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, your probability of getting the disease is higher. All of the fearfulness and all of the stress just makes everything worse. You're more likely to catch it, and if you catch it, it's more likely to be worse if you are stressed. Being stressed reduces the reaction of your immune system. If you're stressed, you are thinking a lot of negative thoughts, and those negative thoughts are making negative things more likely to happen to you. So, you know, you're just, hitting yourself, you know, like pounding your thumbnail with a hammer, you know, as this fear business, the stress and anxiety business just makes you more vulnerable, makes you miserable, and it's a lesson. Obviously, that we all need to learn. Stressful things happen, and we need to be able to deal with them with calmness and without being upset by them. We need to accept them. Well, that's a lesson. Here we are. You're in school. Life has handed you a lesson, and the lesson is don't get stressed out by this thing because that's just going to hurt you. And if it hurts you, then it's more likely to hurt everybody around you that you have to interact with. So what are you going to do? You know, we have this lesson. So if you look at it like that, then this COVID-19 and all the other, you know, chaos that's in our world, really you can look at that as our teacher. How do you deal with that positively? How do you deal with that and stay happy? Stay, you know, have peace and tranquility in your life? Well, you accept it. You realize that whatever happens is going to happen. I'll be smart about it, but if I have a problem, if I end up losing my job, if I can't buy food, well, there'll be some place that'll be there that'll help me. I probably won't just fall over on the street and die, you know, because nobody will help me. There are food banks. There are places to go. There are places that'll give you housing. Somebody will take you in, you know. There are ways. We get by. You know, back in the Depression, you know, that we had, what, back in 1939 or whatever, that many of us, our parents were in that. You know, I'm not even old enough to have been in that. But you probably have parents or grandparents that were in that. Well, people got by. You know, a very large percentage of the population didn't have jobs. But we didn't have mass starvations. You know, it's not necessarily fun. It's not necessarily easy. But things will work out. It'll be okay. We'll all come out the other end, and eventually we'll work our way back to a more comfortable space. So people are resilient. You know, we dread all kinds of things happening, but if we just go with what happens, do the best we can, stay positive, things just tend to work out. They work out all right. But if you're negative, oh no, this is awful, this is going to be horrible, then you just raise the probability that it's going to be awful and horrible. Why? Because you haven't learned your lesson about letting go and being positive. So you still get that lesson. You still get those, you know, you still get the problem. That's the nature of this reality. As you learn your lessons, life gets fun and happy and full of joy and satisfaction. And as you don't learn your lessons, as you struggle with fear and with, you know, self-centeredness and ego and your beliefs, then life is hard, gets harsh. And the more ego and the more fear you have, the harsher it gets. That's the schoolhouse we're in. So if you're feeling really pushed and really anxious, well, you are, you know, you have a big lesson to learn. And if you learn it, your life will get easier and better and less stressful. So look at your stress meter. Is your stress meter pegged? Well, that means you have some serious lessons to learn about letting go, about accepting, about finding a big picture, not being so wound up about, oh, what about me and mine and my stuff and myself and my family and my kids and my parents and my, you know, you need to grow up some. So that's a good way of looking at it. The more stressed you are, the more unhappy you are, the more fearful you are, well, the more lessons you have to learn. You need to let go of that stuff. And as you let go of it, that stress will go away. You see? So if you're having a hard time and you're up to your eyebrows in fear and stress and you know, feelings of wanting to scream and that kind of thing, well, that means you got to grow up some. Because if you were more grown up, you wouldn't feel that way. You wouldn't feel that way at all. So that's probably not a nice thing to tell people. You know, it's you have lessons to learn, but it is just the way it is. It's not necessarily a happy thought. We all have lessons to learn. You know, we're not picking on particular people. All of us have lessons to learn. And, you know, most people now are feeling a lot of stress, but that's because most people have a lot of fear, and therefore they have, you know, issues, and now they're feeling uncomfortable and upset. Well, take it as a time to grow up, to let it be. It'll be whatever. Go with it. Accept it. Be smart, be positive, do the best you can, and then let all the chips just fall where they may. As long as you're doing your part right, then you'll be maximizing, you know, the parts of the people around you. So I guess that's kind of tough love. You know, that's kind of a tough lesson to say that if you're really feeling stressed and unhappy, that's largely because you have beliefs and needs and, you know, things that you demand. Life isn't the way I want it. And that makes me angry. People aren't doing what they should be doing, what I think they should be doing. And that makes me angry. But these people out there, they're not being responsible. And that upsets me. Well, you have to, you know, that's just foolish. You know, that's being upset about the things that you can't control. Let it go. Let people be how they are. They have their own lessons to learn. They're in their own process. You learn your lessons and let them learn their lessons. And you're not their teacher. You're not, you know, to lecture them on what it is they need to learn. You have to live in a world with people like that. And everybody else is looking at you, and they have to live in a world with people like you. See? And we're all looking at each other and figuring this world would be perfect if all those other people would just straighten up and do what's right. And people look at us and are thinking the same thing. So you just need to let people be who they are. Stop getting angry and upset because people aren't living their life the way you think they should. That's arrogance. That's self-centeredness. I know. I know what people should be doing. Don't judge people. Just let them be and deal with it as smartly and as with as much compassion and positivity as you can. So that's the way you get through it. You know, it doesn't have to be stressful. Doesn't have to be even fearful. Things just are. And you deal with them as they happen. And the odds are in your favor. Even if you're 90 years old, the odds are still in your favor. You see? It's not like this is a horrible thing and everybody's going to die. You know, it's not, this is not a doomsday scenario. You know, this is a virus that's spreading around. It's going to kill some people. It's going to make some people very sick. It's going to just barely annoy some people. Most of the people are just going to be, you know, they're going to have the sniffles and a cough and, you know, a little achy, and it'll go away in a few days. And it's not going to be a big thing in their life for the vast majority of people. For some, it's going to be more serious. But we get over things like that. And for those 20% of 90-year-olds and 10% of 70-year-olds and so on down to, you know, 1/100 to 1% of very young people, well, you just accept however that goes for you. I mean, you could be one of those 20-year-olds and end up on a ventilator and not making it. It's not like everybody, you know, that's 20 years old only has a small reaction to it. You know, it can be deadly to young people as well. So just live your life, deal with it with positive, loving, and caring attitudes, and accept what it gives you. Try to learn your lesson, see your lesson in it. If you're unhappy and not feeling good, not full of peace and tranquility and happiness, then that's because of you, because of your need for things to be different. You're upset for the things the way they are. Well, let all that go. You gotta let that need go, let that upset go, and just accept things as they are. So that's kind of the tough love attitude that I have with people. And I know it's easy for me to say these things. It's very hard for people to change themselves. But you change yourself first and foremost by just wanting to. If you see the lesson in it and you say, yeah, I'm wound up tight as it can be over this thing. I'm just really frazzled. Well, take a deep breath and step back and relax a minute and say, well, what's the worst that could happen? All right, the worst that could happen is I get sick, I go on a ventilator and die. All right, accept that. Accept that and say, okay, that might happen. And if it does, everybody that depends on me or whatever, they'll just have to do other things. But life will go on and everything will be as it is. So if you accept the worst, then what is there to be frightened of? Just accept it, that that's not a terrible thing. You'll just go on. You'll pick up another avatar and you'll play another role, another part of the game. So it's just accept the worst, and after that, it should not frighten you anymore. It's an experience. Even being sick and being miserable, lying in bed thinking, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die. You know, that's an experience. And most of us have had that experience. You know, that's the way the flu makes you feel. You know, everything aches, everything hurts, you're nauseous, you're this and that. And you feel like, oh, I think I might die. This is so awful. But you don't die mostly. You get over it. And if sometimes you do die, well, you get over that too. You go on to another lifetime. So it's an experience. It's part of life. Hard experiences are things that help us grow, as well as, you know, nice, soft, cushy experiences. You got to accept all of it. Can't say, yeah, I'm going to be part of this life, but I only want the good part. You know, I want all the happy parts, but I don't want any, you know, I don't want to be sick ever, or have, you know, my child get sick, or have a terrible thing happen to me or anybody I know. You know, I don't want to do any of that part. But that's part of life too. Sometimes life is hard. And you accept those times and you deal with them as best you can. And mostly you come out the other side just fine. And if you don't, that's okay too. You just move on to another experience packet. So there's nothing really to fear there. You see, fear what? What is there to fear? Well, what's to fear is you fear the things in the world are not the way you want them. Well, come on. You're not going to have things in the world the way you want them. You are not the master of the universe.
We're not?
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh,
You see, just realize that, things aren't going to be the way you want them. And they're not really the way probably most people want them. But they are what the way they are. And we should try to change them to be better than they are. But being upset doesn't change anything. It just makes everything harder to change, makes everything more difficult. Being fearful makes everything harder. And a lot of that stuff that needs to be changed is there because of our own lack of growth. If we were a less fearful people, then we wouldn't have these things to deal with. If we were a more caring people, we wouldn't create situations to create flus and things like this. We'd look at that situation and say, no, that's not good. We could create some awful virus with a situation like this. Let's clean it up. But we don't care. We only care about how much money we're going to make. And, well, it may kill somebody else, but it won't kill me, so not my problem. It's because we're self-centered. It's because we have fears. It's because we're uncaring. That's why we have all these problems. So, yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff we need to change. But the way you change that isn't by going out and changing other people who aren't doing what they should be doing, according to your viewpoint. You change it by changing yourself, right? So, a big lesson here for everybody, a really big lesson for everybody, for those of us that don't have the virus, those of us who might get it, those of us who already have had it. It's a lesson how to deal with hard things when they happen and deal positively, how to accept things that you can't change, how to change yourself, focus on yourself rather than changing other people. So those are the lessons here. And if we learn those lessons, we wouldn't have to repeat this. But if we don't learn those lessons, we probably will repeat it. Actually, we repeat this every year, right? Every year there's a flu season. Every year, someplace, a flu virus gets generated and it sweeps around through humanity every single year. And next year there'll probably be another one. And a year after that, because we just don't care enough to stop it. Because stopping it doesn't make enough money. If we were grown up enough and cared enough about other, not just about self, we wouldn't have any of those things. You see? So it's a symptom of our fear. See, fear creates problems, and then we have to deal with those problems, and that's our feedback for growing up. See how that works? So life is just the way it's supposed to be. Here we are, all this terrible things happen just because we're not grown up. And the terrible things are the result of us not being grown up. And the terrible things are our stimulus, our prod, our poke to grow up. So if you want to make the world a better, kinder place, then make yourself a better, kinder person. And I'm not talking about acting better and kinder. I'm talking about being better and kinder. That's how you fix the world. That's how you keep viruses from coming around. That's how you keep wars from happening and hunger and famine and all the rest of that's all unnecessary. We could do better. We don't need any of that stuff. It just happens because we're not grown up enough to not let it happen. We're not grown up enough to keep it from happening because it happens to somebody else and we really don't care about them. We care about us. And that's the problem. So you see, if we just grew up, there wouldn't be viruses and there wouldn't be wars and there wouldn't be famines and there wouldn't be the sort of thing that we're dealing with now. It wouldn't even exist. But because we're ungrown, okay, this is, what do they say? You made the bed, now you have to lie in it. Or, you cook the pudding, now you have to taste it or whatever,
Do you
We are
think it's
now
because
dealing with the result of our own dysfunction.
our population is too big? Like, is part of this like a like fire weeding out some of the people so that we can grow up better? I mean,
No, the population isn't the problem. The population being big may make things more difficult, but it's not the problem. We could have more population if everybody was not fearful, if everybody was loving and caring. We could probably even double the population and still be pretty happy. It's not really the population that's the problem. The population is a stressor. It makes makes things more difficult. So it makes things harder, but it doesn't necessarily make us fearful. I mean, if you live in New York and you see these numbers going up, well, that's because of the population density. You know, it's so dense. The population is so dense in big cities. I mean, it's the same in Tokyo. It's the same in, you know, all the big cities. Same in London, I'm sure. You go out on any of these really huge cities and stand on a street and it's shoulder to shoulder people all day long. Well, if you got something that's easy to catch and you got that many people that close together, well, a lot of them are going to catch it and pass it around. You just can't help that. That's part of the advantage of living in a city, right? That's one of the, that's just goes with being in a dense packed population. Well, we can fix that. Doesn't have to be that way. You know, people don't have to be that tightly crammed together. There's nothing about our culture or our society or our civilization that requires people to be, you know, packed that tightly together. So why do we, you know, choose to do that? Well, we do. So people find advantage in it. Usually the advantage is financial. Well, you know, there's your trade. You know, if the advantages outweigh the disadvantages, then you go do it. But then when the disadvantages come, don't, you know, don't moan about them. You know, that's part of your choice for being in that situation. If you don't like that situation, then go somewhere else. So then the economic situation is not as good. You know, if you're in New York, there's lots of jobs everywhere because there's lots of people and lots of commerce and lots of things. Well, that's an advantage. But then, of course, everything's more expensive. So there's advantages and disadvantages, and people make up their own minds and do what they do, and then they have to deal with the consequences. So on a global scale, we're dealing globally with the consequences of we, humanity, not caring enough that we create these kinds of viruses. So now we have to deal with it. You know, you live in a big city like New York, and well, one of the consequences is if there's a communicable disease going around, well, you're in not a very good spot there because there's so many people that you have to rub shoulders with. Well, that's consequences. But they're all consequences of our own choices. It's not like these are consequences of, you know, what, you know, the environment or the, you know, nature or something else. It's humans doing this. And we do it to ourselves. And some people will say, yeah, but I'm not doing it. I'm just a victim. I'm over here being the good person, doing my good things all the time, helping everybody. And then I, you know, I get this crap. Well, you have to see yourself as part of the whole. You are a part of it. And in as much as that whole does things that are dysfunctional, well, you're going to have to live with that dysfunction too. So what do? Well, you try to make sure that you clean up your act and you get yourself as positive as possible. And then maybe you get into educating other people so they see things differently. You know, you talk to people, you do what you can. Again, you do the best you can with it to help other people grow up, and then you accept what happens. You're not here by yourself. You're here as part of the human race, part of the animals that are on this planet. And there's consequences to that. You know, it's just the way it is. It's not like it's unfair to me. I'm a good person and all these evil people make it unhappy, you know, make an unhappy thing for me. Well, you are not, again, the master of the universe. You know, you're just part of the thing. And you can the most you can do to affect the thing is to clean up your own act. So we grow up together. You know, we interact with our environment together. We can poison the environment. And I can say, well, I don't poison the environment. You know, I don't do any of that. I walk everywhere. I don't drive a car. I don't, you know, I ride buses. Well, buses pollute the environment too. But you can think that you're a good person doing good things, but really you're just a part of the whole. And we all sink or swim in the same boat. So let's help each other swim. Let's be helpful and caring. And we do that by getting rid of our own fear first. That will help other people get rid of their fear. That's how we do it. We don't go out and order everybody, you know, tell everybody else what they need to do. Okay, you Chinese, you know, clean up that meat market over there where these viruses go. You know, we don't, that's not the way you fix the problem. The way you fix the problem is let everybody grow up to the point that nobody wants to produce those kinds of things. They care about other people enough not to produce it. That's how you fix the problem, not some people ordering other people around, because that never works out. In the long term, that always is a loser. Even if the people mean well in the beginning, where there's power, you know, you have corruption. And what do they say? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, you know, the power of the few to tell the many what to do, even if the few are all wonderful people, that won't work out in the long term. That'll be a disaster in the long term. The only way to solve the problem long term is to solve it at the individual level, not at the management level. It has to be solved with you and I, you know, with individuals. That is the only solution that will stay fixed in the long term. Every other solution will unravel in the long term if you don't fix the people in general. So there we are.
There we are.
have we used up the hour yet?
Yep, pretty much. Wow, one question.
Yeah, one question. Well, I did have something to say about fear, after all.
About that. I knew you would.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
You've been listening to News for the Heart, and we've been getting to the heart of what matters with, well, the coronavirus and how to work with our own fears around that. It's a big one, and let's hope by next month we'll have flattened the curve and we'll be on to bigger and better things.
Let's hope.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.